friends. Thanks for joining us here at the Grace Hour, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor Jason Moore, and I'm in the studio today with Pastor Barry Quirk. Great to have you, sir.
Good to be with you, Pastor Jason.
We're going to have fun today. I love this theme week on perseverance, and I hope you've been encouraged, strengthened, and really fortified in your faith. And we're going to kind of dive into this theme today about perseverance in my Bible study. And Pastor Barry, before we get you rolling here, get the conversation rolling, we want to talk to our listening audience. Feel free to join the conversation today at 1-800-338-7060. You can join us on Facebook. We love to hear your chats, or actually see your chats, not just hear your chats. I don't know if you can hear chats on Facebook. Okay, we want to hear you on the phone. Let's start there. And then, of course, you know, you can certainly email us questions at gracehour.org. So, Pastor Barry, this theme on perseverance, we can kind of take it a couple different ways. Really, we've kind of opened up the week with how God is holding on to us. We are not holding on to Him.
Thankfully.
Isn't that good?
Thankfully.
We're walking with Him moment by moment, step by step. Great broadcast yesterday on perseverance in marriage. But how would you say perseverance in Bible study? I think that's a constant process in all of our lives where we always are developing an edge. We're always cultivating hunger. How would you start that conversation today? How would I really develop a study life?
Yeah, I mean, actually, we know, first of all, that the Bible is God's love letter, in essence, to us, right? It explains everything that's happened from creation of man all the way to the return of His, the return for the church and what happens in history. And if we don't know the love letter, if we don't know the details of what's been written, it's going to be a very difficult task living our lives with any real purpose or value. And, you know, we know a lot about the Bible, I think. In churches in America, you could go and learn a lot about the Bible. But does the Bible speak to me personally? You know, do I have it as a guide in my life? Is it something that I love this verse in John 14:26 that says that He sends His Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And really, in essence, it says that He's revealing to us the things which we've committed. You know, we memorize the scripture. We'll talk about some practical things, I think, throughout our talk today. But, you know, do we have the ability to have something in our souls, resident in our souls, that will help us as we walk through life in all of the details, right? And I think we do, and that's His scripture. So, you know, it's one of those things that we can look at and say it's intimidating. I don't know if I can understand it. It's old language. It's, you know, there are books like the books of the law or the Chronicles that you could get lost in the, what is it saying? And you could be discouraged, but also there is such an awesome possibility of being able to take a bite at a time and meditate on it and chew on it and think about it and pray about it and study and talk about it with people. And I just love the fact that we have something that tells us, we have the manual, life's manual, I guess that's what I'm saying, right? We have the manual that kind of makes sense out of what is this life that we're here on earth living.
Yeah, I mean, so, it's interesting, you can look at the Bible a lot of different ways, but what a great way of looking at it. It's God's love letter, and thinking about our life is full of processes, right? Like Pastor Schaller said recently in the message, that there are two sides to the coin. There's faith and there's doubt. Yeah. It's the same principle. Like in our study habits, we might have time when it's very fervent and then times when it's non-existent. So not to forget, we're in a process and we're always developing or starting in processes. Just like we run a mile, right? It's step by step. It's moment by moment. So, I mean, thinking that we can have real words for real life. So we're getting to know the author and finisher of our faith, but also God is constantly working in to will and do of His good pleasure, like we've said, but also to grow in grace and knowledge. And I like this word grow because it's progressive. Mm-hmm. Yes, we're positionally secure and positionally absolute.
Yes.
But then there's a process of sanctification where we're working out our salvation, where maybe we read a verse and it's not, you know, it's something that's like jumping off the page. And then some days it's like, you know, it's a piece of concrete. We're like, okay, what's that mean? We have to sit with it. We have to kind of examine it. We have to kind of ask God about it. And then we have to parallel it with other parts of Scripture. I mean, this process can be laborious. It can be arduous, but we're ultimately getting to know a God who knows everything about us.
Yeah.
And he's loving us. And really, I think Bible study helps keep our faith personal. What would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, maybe to simplify what you said in very eloquent terms, it's we're you know, in one sense, we're complete in him. There's nothing that salvation left us lacking, right? I mean, we are, the blood paid for every sin. We have a walk with God. We have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. When the final day comes, when we, if our faith is in Christ, then we are with him for eternity, right? This is what you guys talked about on Monday, that he's held on to us, not the other way around. On the other hand, we grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that's a daily process in the sense that we're always going through life learning. Sometimes we learn from our mistakes, right? And that's why it's, I mean, I would say mistakes are one of the greatest teachers, right? We learn more probably from our mistakes sometimes than we do if we haven't made a mistake. And I'm not advocating that we go out and make mistakes. I'm saying welcome to real life, that, you know, God gives us his instructions and then, you know, we tend to ignore or rebel against, just not listen to. And then we come back to him and say, my life is shattered. And he says, okay, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to live in those promises that I was encouraging you in the first place, right? Lovingly and graciously, but he could say, well, duh, no kidding. I mean, I told you how to avoid this, but you ignored me, right? So yeah, I would say that the personal part of the Bible study is, you know, we could be in a place in our lives where we're saved, we go to a church, we live from message to message, we're excited by the message, we're motivated by the message, we're stirred up by the message. And then as the week goes, we kind of dwindle with the week. And then we get to the midweek service, and then we're built up and edified. But wouldn't it be awesome if, like, every time the message is being preached, it's sparking thoughts in us from our own personal study? It's confirming. And then really, this is what the messages do to us. And I almost feel sometimes like I'm going to the chiropractor. Like, I come into a service, and I'm out of sorts. I'm out of shape some way. And the message kind of snaps something back into place, and it might even be a little bit of a painful process, but boy, the deliverance from the pain and the challenges that happens. And I think your personal Bible study can only enhance that. Like the fact that, you know, how many times have you heard a scripture and a message and it touches your heart, but it also brings to recall other verses that confirm that, right? Because this is how God's character and nature is. His word is consistent with his character and his nature. And it does strike a tone in our hearts. You know, there's a certain sound to the scripture that says, ding, 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 that's me. And just a very quick story. I went to a class trip in Budapest. We went to the island of Crete, and we were doing some walking around, and there was this obviously not Cretan couple. They were Finnish. They were very blonde and blue-eyed and did not look like any of the other people there. And they were in a little kiosk by the water. And I said to them, what are you guys doing here? And they said, oh, we're taking care of the sea turtles. You know, we're watching their eggs and making sure that they get, you know, the kind of protection that they need. And I said, oh, wow, that's very interesting. You know, and I'm thinking, here's this couple from Finland living in Crete. And wow. I said to them, you guys must really love God. And they said, oh, we don't really believe in God, but we just think this is an important situation. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, you're going to live in preservation of something that God has created, but you're going to turn your back on the creator. And it just struck home to me that we can know a lot about life, about people. We could be experts in behavioral situations. But if we don't know the heart of God, then we have missed the most important thing. We've missed the heart of God. And salvation and Christianity and the difference between Christianity and religion, man's attempt to reach God versus God meeting us right where we're at, that's all revealed in his scripture. And when we study it carefully and we think about it and we meditate upon it, we start to understand why we're here and what we're supposed to be doing.
Isn't it amazing when you read the Bible? It's so relevant, even though it's timeless, it's so relevant.
Absolutely.
You know, I think about, you know, a personal Bible study keeps us from being an emotional hearer because we, you know, our flesh tends to be selective. It tends to be going to things that interest us. But when you open your Bible, and it's not easy to just start reading necessarily.
Nope.
But you, just like a workout, like we were talking about going to the gym, it's difficult at first, but you value what it will produce. You value how you feel afterwards. The process can be excruciating, but at the end, you can enjoy not being tired, or you can enjoy whatever you're looking for, the pressure release. But I think back to being an emotional hearer, like we, and there, that happens rampantly today where, you know, people, we all, let's not say people, I myself can have trouble with retention or remembering a message that we heard. And it's like personal study helps us carve out the capacity to be a hearer of the Spirit, hearer of the Bible. And not just a selective hearer, not just an emotional, devotional, where I'm following a whim, every whim. But instead, it's like, okay, we're getting to know the heart of God. We're walking in process where, again, we might be strong in some areas and weak in other areas. And it's like, okay, the Lord is like, okay, we're going to do some strength training in this area. We're going to, I want you to know who I am so that you are less likely to be lied to. I think that's a big point. I said, the more the Bible we know, the less likely we're able to be lied to by the atmosphere, because we understand the greatest lie is the one that's closest to the truth.
Yeah.
And I think when we're quoting Scripture or know the Scripture, let's put it that way, when we know Scripture, we know the heart of God, then it's like, okay, we can discern what is counterfeit, what is authentic, what is absolute versus what is man's best guess.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, that's good. That's really good, Pastor Jason. And I mean, the devil, in his first questions for Adam and Eve, did not God say, right, the half-truth, distorting what God really said? Or how many times have you heard it said that, you know, money is the root of all evil, right? And we go, yeah, it's true, money is the root of all evil. It's the love of money, right? Actually, money is a great tool, and it can help us to get places. You know, we've been to a lot of missions trips because we've had money to be able to go do that. It's when the love of money happens, right? And these are things that get hashed out when we are accurately able to rightly discern, you know, what it is that the word is saying, rightly divide the word of truth. The other thing that I was thinking about is that there is a misconception about what it means to have Bible study, right? So you brought up a good point, and it kind of struck a chord with me, is that we hear a message, we could have an emotional response to it, we could act quickly, we could surf that wave until the next service, so to speak. But, you know, what if we take that message and we meditate upon it? Like, we just have a Monday morning quarterback session where we go, what did the pastor say about this? Oh, yeah, he said that this was the you know, and then we read the scripture again and we just kind of chew on it and think about it and we meditate upon it. Actually, if you do that on the regular basis, you're going to start to realize that you have categories of scripture that have been built up on you, in you, right? And this is just one practical form. There's a lot of practical ways, and there's a difference between Bible reading and Bible study. And our Bible reading programs, you know, there are some practical programs that you can do that are helpful. You can read an Old Testament book a day and a psalm and a proverb, a psalm or a proverb, and then a New Testament book a day. And I think if you do that consistently in 1 year's time, you'll cover the Old Testament once and the New Testament twice. So that's just a good way to keep fresh. And I like to do those kinds of readings just because how many times have we heard a message and heard a portion and say, I don't think I've ever heard that portion.
Yes.
Now, I know that I went to Bible school in 1987 and again in 91, 92. And I know that during that time in Bible school that at least twice or three times we read through the scriptures. You know, the way these courses are set up, survey courses and then specific courses, that you kind of read through the scriptures a couple times in your Bible school. So I'm always amazed that I can read something and go, I've never heard that before. But in essence, I really haven't. just because I read it doesn't mean I know what it says. That doesn't mean that I've hidden it in my heart.
Yeah.
But it does strike a chord. You know, there is something for the Holy Spirit to work with us, in us. And, you know, that was one of the questions that was asked here in this study is, you know, how does the Holy Spirit help me in my perseverance in Bible study? How does the Holy Spirit help me? And I just wanted to kind of segue into this thought that that the Spirit helps us understand and also internalize that word of Scripture, right? And it's interesting that the Bible itself has the power and authority to shape our lives, but that's because the Bible comes from God himself, right? We know that he inspired men. Men were inspired, but that was the sails were hurled, and the wind that filled those sails was the inspiration, the God-breathing of the Scriptures. But then there's an illumination that happens, right? And we know that the entrance of his word brings light. And I always think about that in terms of how many situations as believers are we in that if we had, you know, if we allow God to speak to us through his word, that we'll gain understanding in a way that we wouldn't have if we don't spend the time. So what is the Holy Spirit's role in it? Well, the Holy Spirit, besides revealing truths to us, and he does reveal truths to us, he brings back to our memory the things which we've committed. He pricks our heart when something is not of the Scripture, right? Like maybe, how do you get to know when something's counterfeit? Well, you study the original, right? You study the original. How can I know when something is not the heart of God? Well, you just learn the heart of God. And when you learn the heart of God and you hear something that's not the heart of God, you kind of go, that doesn't sound right. I need to get in my Bible and look at that, you know? And then we find out it's not.
Yeah.
Right?
It's clear, isn't it?
It's clear.
I mean, again, the starting point of our faith is Christ. The middle point of our faith is Christ. The end point of our faith is Christ. Where am I? Well, we are hidden in him. We're partnering with him. If we could say he does all the heavy lifting, but ultimately, I love you prompted me to think of Ephesians chapter 1, 17, that the God of our Father, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he works in Christ, that he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. So I think when you, it's like a treasure chest. You open your Bible, you're discovering treasure. It's like people. I think people in our church family, we're constantly finding buried treasure.
Mm-hmm.
And so honestly, I think with Bible study, it's not meant to be done the same way every time. I know in different seasons in my life, there are times when I can read my Bible and it's very meaningful. Then there are times when maybe I listen to an audio message or I listen to a video or a YouTube message that is like-minded in the faith. Maybe I read a missionary biography. I know in times of challenge, I like to read through Hebrews chapter 11 and I like to put my name in there and I kind of think, okay, these men and women were under great challenge. What are some real words for real life? And I think if I'm not in my Bible, then I'm in my emotions, and my emotions are in the driving seat, right, or in the driver's seat. So I think variety, Pastor Barry, for me personally, I mean, maybe I don't know how you keep your personal study life in living and alive, and I think that reflects back to the Holy Spirit again. The Holy Spirit is the living agent of our faith.
Right.
So Psalm 51:8, we're hiding the word in our heart. Psalm 119, Psalm 51 is like we're hiding the word in our heart, but then in Psalm 119, it's like we hide the word so we don't sin against him. So again, it's this living exchange.
Right.
And so variety is huge. Maybe I sit with somebody, and somebody that's like my mentor or someone that's a veteran in the faith or someone who has a strength in an area where I have a weakness. And we're constantly learning. We're learners, learning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure as a principal of a school, right, you're always working with students in their homework life, right,
or in their
application life. I mean, it's a constant battle slash process.
Yeah, and even for me, I'm a constant learner, right? Yes, like yes. I think learning is lifelong. You don't achieve and then you know everything there is to know, you know. All we have to do is sit at a table with our children and be instructed in the way things really are to know that we don't know everything that we ought to know. But, you know, one thing that I think you mentioned about variety is very important, and it actually is what keeps it fresh and we don't get familiar. I think there's a couple things that can really hinder us in our walk with God. One of them is condemnation, which, by the way, condemnation is dealt with when if we have condemnation, we know that First John says that God is greater than our heart when our heart condemns us, right? Then we have the second part of that is exhaustion. We can get tired. It's okay to be tired in the way, but it's not to be tired of the way. And we can find out how to keep yourself refreshed, right? Jude 20 and 21 say, keep yourself in the love of God, right? Keep yourself in the love of God. Build yourself up in the most holy faith. It's both of those things are find out who you are in Christ, right? Anyways, and then the third thing is familiarity and just becoming familiar with it. Like I have it, I don't really have to be exercised in it. And all of those things are false. But where are those things cleaned up in the scripture? Now, variety, you said sometimes I read, sometimes I listen to music, sometimes I read a biography. What's the common thing in every single one of those things that you're entertaining, right? It's the word of truth in every single one of them. So the variety is, you know, we need nutrients in our lives, right? We have to eat. I mean, obviously, I don't have a problem with that. I get lots of nutrients. But what I'm saying is, those nutrients, if you had the same slop every day, you'd become tired of it, right? So you can be creative in it. You can dress it up in different ways and tastes and flavors, and some you enjoy more than others. And sometimes you enjoy something because you haven't had it in a long time, but then you say, that was good, that was awesome. I wouldn't do that every day. Mm-hmm. And I think our personal scripture preparation, how we do it, you know, it's great to have variety, but, you know, we could be so occupied with things that are outside of the main issue, which is really getting to know the heart of God, that we could kind of lose that point. And as long as we don't lose that point, you know, I love, actually, when I prepare for a class or a message, I like to put worship music on. And I kind of lose even track of what it's saying, but I find myself, you know, being built up by it and being edified by it. But it's like the right balance, you know, like I wouldn't just listen to a worship song and then go try to preach a message.
Right.
Right. So I think it's all very, very valuable that we would keep ourselves in the fellowship with God, really, is I guess what we're saying, right? We need to be in fellowship with God. And that comes through a lot of different ways. One very simple way that I like to do it is just bite-sized memorization and meditation. And I remember Pastor Schauer in Bible college imploring us to just, you know, open the book, read Psalm 1:1 and say, you know, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Happy is the man. Joyful is the man. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And then just as he's walking around, or actually he said when he was in the tannery up in South Berwick, he used to have scriptures pasted on the wall. And while he was doing his vocation, he was occupied with the word and, you know, to the degree that he could do that without cutting his hand off or something. but, you know, how about that? Like, how about just meditating and chewing on it? And it might only be one little section. Like, don't condemn ourselves. Like, maybe we're really only good at doing one verse, and then we find ourselves growing in that, you know? Like, you gave the workout illustration. Mm. You come in the beginning, don't expect to be fully developed in your abilities, because that's why you're doing it, to learn how to grow in it. And I think the Holy Spirit is good at keeping us connected, you know, in our hearts, building us up, edifying us, letting us know who we are in Him. And I love it when we're reading something and then we're built up on a lateral thought, because the Spirit is kind of just, you know, illuminating us about something that the Scripture has already been inspired for. And we're getting it's not a new revelation,
right?
But it's a new understanding of the revelation of God, right? It's the rhema.
Yeah. It's a personal word, right?
Yes, yes.
I mean, how edifying is it to be like you're in your personal study and then you come to a message or in the Spirit is speaking through the preacher, a message that's similar to what you're receiving.
Yes.
I mean, I love this, this principle that you brought up, and I think it's so encouraging is that, you know, when you sit down to eat a steak, you're not just eating it in one bite, right? You're cutting it, you're making sure it's a bite size, you're chewing it. Mm-hmm. And I think that can't be underestimated. Like, slow it down. Slow it down. Speak it out loud. Think about it. Focus on each word. Make it be in a place where there's momentous, the momentous process of a verse. Because we can get legalistic. We can say,
Absolutely,
oh my gosh, I should know this already. I should live in it. I should. And this is a word that I've had to identify in my own life personally. The word should actually creates personal pressure. Mm-hmm. And there's good pressure and bad pressure. We look at hydraulics and see that there's good pressure that moves things. And then there's bad pressure, which crushes things and or weakens things. And I think this word should can weaken us in the wrong sense, because we're all tragically aware of our lacks, right? And when we open our Bible, it's like, oh, I should be in my Bible every day, or I should be praying every day. And I don't think that word creates a capacity. I think when we say, okay, God, meet me today. Mm-hmm. Lord, meet me now. Mm-hmm. I want this verse to be more than, like we just read Ephesians chapter 1, those three verses, which are revolutionary, transformational verses. And it's like, okay, I want to have each word like the spirit of revelation. Like, Lord, what are you going to teach me today? And thank God that it's not dependent on us, because, I mean, how many times have we been going about our day and all of a sudden the Spirit is speaking and it's like you're receptive, you're open. And I think this is another value to Bible study, is that your heart is prepared to receive and identify the work of the Spirit. Your heart is available to identify and be receptive to the move of the Spirit. If we're not prepared, we can honestly miss tremendous opportunities that God wants to do and say and work that are obvious to those that are in the Spirit. But again, legalism in study life. This one writer says that legalism is a structure or routine without a Spirit, without the ministry of the Spirit. What would you say to that, Pastor?
Oh, yay and amen. I mean, when you open the Word, and the Word starts speaking, and you start getting condemned because you're not everything that the Word starts speaking. We don't have the heart of God when we're reading it and studying it. Actually, we can be corrected by the Word. I think it's, you know, doctrine is profitable for, you know, rebuke and exhortation and all those things. And we receive it gladly because we know that this is what the Spirit is given to us to be corrected. But also, when we read the Scripture, we find out a lot of things that we are, that we didn't realize we were.
Amen.
We are complete in Him, right? We have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. We are the apple of God's eye, like He says to David in the Psalms. You know, we are, over and over and over again, we start to realize who we are in the Scripture. We're built up in the most holy faith, right? We're keeping the love of God, the mercy of God, all those things in our heart. So we could legalistically think, and let's think about just Old Testament tradition, the Pharisees and the scribes, right? You could take a nail and nail it through the Torah, and they could tell you every word of every page that was pierced because they know the word so well, right? But do they have the deliverance of the word? Do they understand that the word was speaking towards the lack of man to be able to live in any of those commands that it was presenting, and that one would come on our behalf who didn't come to break the law, but to fulfill it. Obviously I'm not looking to get into a discussion about Judaism, but I'm just saying how easily you could miss what the Scripture really is desiring to do, which is to get to have you to know and live in the life that God has for us as believers, and that we would live in His eternal purpose here on earth. And thank God for people that, you know, copied the Scripture. And I'm just saying that you could legalistically be caught up in this. When I wake up in the morning, and I have a Bible study program. And I am a firm believer that genuine discipline only happens when you have enforced discipline. Like if I don't purpose in a way to say, if I got to get up at 5:30 tomorrow morning and I got to do the following things, you know, if I do it, it'll start to develop patterns and habits, and then it'll become a joy, you know. And then it's not, I got to get up and do this. It's like, well, I got my cup of coffee, I'm sitting in my chair, the house is quiet, I'm reading my Bible, I'm getting amazing thoughts from God about different patterns in my life, or, you know, maybe as leaders in our departments, you know, we're God's showing us things that could help our departments and our it's like this thing happens, right? Mm. But it happens when I give God an opportunity to let it happen. I can't put my Bible under my pillow at night and go, osmosis, come on, right? It doesn't work like that. But I can open it up.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that's why I think it's important to know that Bible reading and Bible study are maybe two different things. We could get into a religious pattern of Bible reading and say, I read the scripture. And you know what? The unsaved can read the scripture. The natural man doesn't understand the things of God, right? Yeah. He can't put the application of what the scripture is saying to a practical use in his life. He just hears something from God and he has a concept or a thought about it. But we actually have the Holy Spirit who is revealing to us the truth, right? And he's also confirming it. I love in our discipline and in the school, you know, there's times when I say to the kids, was there a point at which you realized what you were doing was maybe not the best idea? And inevitably they go, yeah. And I say, well, what did you do at that point? And they're like, yeah, I kind of ignored it. It's like, oh, okay. Wow. Well, you know, that's the Holy Spirit, right? Our conscience, yes. Our convictions, our morals, yes. Okay. But the Holy Spirit can actually save you from something going on in your life that could be very counterproductive. And we either learn to listen to that and be tuned into it and find out, well, how does the Holy Spirit speak to a person? And what does he say when he speaks to us? Do we just hear these, you know, weird voices and it's, we're getting new revelation and we're moved around? How many people are caught up in like a seeker type of movement where it's just, I need an experience, right? Bible reading is not necessarily an experience.
Yes.
We can read the Bible, be moved by it, be filled with its with the Spirit as a result of it, and then we experience something. Mm-hmm. But it's because that's how God chose to manifest that in our lives. It wasn't, I got to find the feeling, and then I'll understand, right? But we have a walk with God, and it's important that we learn to tune into that.
Wow, you're saying so many things. I'm just taking notes. I mean, this is such a loaded broadcast. Folks, join the conversation. We have many good comments here. Thank you, Carol, for your comment here. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, the Spirit of truth. No way can we study or read the Scripture and know what God is saying without the Holy Spirit. Very good point here. It seems incomprehensible, Elizabeth writes, to me that a believer would not know, feel, and witness the power of God in our lives. Would you expound on this, please? Mm-hmm. I mean, I would just say, Elizabeth, you know, just in relationship to what we're saying, we can know the law, and it can be that mirror that identifies what's wrong. But the ministry of the word, the ministry of grace, is what is the ability to change. And I think this word ability is a big word. It's just like opportunity. You know, it's the environment for us to apply what we're learning. But ability is the demonstration of the Spirit in our life. And I think in our world, we need real words. We really need real answers. We really need to have God's real mind on situations. Because in 2 Timothy 3:13, evil is waxing worse and worse. And we are no match for what's coming against us without being hidden in the Spirit, walking in the armor of God, and walking in the power and might of God and the Spirit. So again, we're seeing that, like for instance, getting back to Bible reading, I like the YouVersion. Sometimes I just go and they ask different verses, they suggest different verses to read, but sometimes I go on YouTube and I just write, you know, read, I don't know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and the orator there is kind of interesting guy, kind of like an old kind of concept there. But the words, like the words that are being spoken into my mind, maybe I'm a little distracted, maybe I'm a little not interested, but the word just kind of, it keeps coming and coming. It's like the waves of the sea, and mm-hmm. and it creates an ability to believe, an mm-hmm. ability to expect from God, an mm-hmm. ability to remember. We were just saying with our staff this morning, just the value of remembering people. People will never forget that you've forgotten, certainly will never forget that you remembered. So obviously we want to be on the side of remembrance, but it's impossible to remember, especially in a church family, the woes and the celebrations. But how faithful, when we make room for the Spirit, He reminds us of those things that have been stored in our hearts. Another great thought here from Carol, you know, Holy Spirit is the only source of learning the Word of God and memorizing Scripture. Beautiful, Pastor Barry. You know, Steve Havens chimes in. Steve, good to hear from you, sir. Great conversation. Thank you, guys. Another faithful brother in the church. Elizabeth, there is power in knowing light comprehends the darkness and that we don't react to darkness. Darkness only reacts. God's light moves, changing and transforming us to think with God. And I think, isn't that what doctrine is? It's learning to think with God. And I kind of laughed because, you know, we wish that we would have that osmosis, that we'd automatically get it. But it's that parakletos, it's the Holy Spirit walking with us shoulder to shoulder, moment by moment, saying, think with me. You know, speak to yourself. Don't just listen to yourself. Speak to yourself. How are you going to speak to yourself? Well, you're going to speak the voice of truth to yourself.
I mean, isn't it possible that God could have said at Calvary, now that you're saved, trust in me, and I'm going to give you everything you need. Done deal. You don't have to study. You don't have to memorize. You don't have to think. You don't have to. It's just all done for you. Right? But that's not what he asked of us. I mean, he did actually theologically do all those things. But then he asks us to live in a walk of faith, right? I would like you to walk by faith. And very simply put, that just means I would like you to take me at my word, right? No matter what your feelings think. And when we get back to persevering, actually, the definition of persevering, I think, that we gave earlier in the week is that it's a persistence in anything undertaken. It's a continual pursuit of any business or enterprise, or even in theology, it's a continuance in a state of grace to a state of glory, right? Which is a beautiful thought. Continuance from grace all the way to glory, right? Mm. We're saved by grace, and ultimately we're going to be in His glory, right? And that happens to us right here on earth. We're in heaven on earth at times when we start to understand. And I like what you just said about ability. I think about the ability that we need as believers. What's the number one ability that we would need as believers? Well, I believe it's availability.
Beautiful.
Right? And I think that God wants to speak in us and through us and to others, right? We are called, Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save all that which is lost, right? One purpose, like to seek and to save that which is lost. And, you know, we are called as believers to go, just like in, you know, the Holy Spirit comes down in Acts chapter 1, and he gives, the Holy Spirit is in the heart of men, and then he sends them to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. And then in Acts chapter 2, he gives us the four basic tenets of what a New Testament church is based around, in prayer and fellowship and continuing in the disciples' doctrine, which is the Word of God, right? And then communion. And so these things are like revealed to us through His Word. The Holy Spirit is the one who orchestrates that whole thing. You know, God had a plan. His Son carried it out. The Holy Spirit reveals it to us. Where does He reveal it to us? Well, it's in His Word, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the man of God who you're talking about listening to on the radio that could, you know, encourage my heart and cause me to have a thought with God or devotional life, he's inspired by the Scripture, which are revealed by the Holy Spirit. So it all comes back down to, you know, the words of this book being the revelation that God decided to give us about Himself. And that we would grow in grace and knowledge of this on a daily basis is an amazing thing. So legalistically, I could read it and think about it and memorize it, and I could even know the Scriptures well.
Yes.
But do I know the author? And this was my point about the Finns on the beach of Crete who were taking care of the turtles, you know, birthing process. But they were literally not interested in knowing the author. And I'm thinking to myself, how could you not just sit by the water sometime and watch the fish breach the water and the birds flying around and everything that's happening and say, this, you know, there is an author and he's got a beautiful design and I need to know about him. I need to know about him. And this is kind of where it is. So, Pastor Jason, another question that got asked is, you know, what do I do when I feel like God is not meeting me in my personal study? And have you had a day where you wake up and you're reading and you just go, it's just not happening?
Yes, absolutely.
You know? So do you condemn yourself?
I try not to. I mean, 1 John 3:20, you've referred to it several times today. It's my favorite verse. If your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart, for he knows all things. So condemnation always is a deficit motivation, always makes sin the issue, where conviction really enables us to remember that we are but dust. You know, I was thinking of this verse, and I want to get to your question in a minute, but this is a simple verse, like how often we can try to disqualify ourselves. We can level ourselves up to a false standard. And we were talking this morning about this verse. If God was to count iniquities, right? If God was to mark iniquities, no one would stand. So that levels the playing field. So are there days when we maybe don't sense God in our readings or in our meetings? And that doesn't mean he's not there. That's number one. He could certainly be there. He might be encouraging us to seek him with our whole heart. It's like Psalm 42:1, the cry of the psalmist says, I want to hunger and thirst. I want to, like a deer panteth after the water, so my soul panteth after thee. Maybe it's, okay, Lord, I'm speaking things by faith today because I'm not seeking an experience. But I think it's perseverance in the sense where this is right and this is God's methodology, and he'll meet you eventually in those dry times, in those wilderness times, in those desert times. And maybe God just wants us to be quiet. Like, be still and know that I'm God, like, quiet. And
yes,
in those desert times when, and I love hiking in the desert, actually, out west. We've done some more hiking in Nevada and Utah, and it's one of my favorite places. But there you are, and it's just dry, and it's, you're kind of maybe in a fog, but then God's like, I am here. I'm going to be the burning bush. So don't elevate the feeling, the experience, what's not happening. Let's elevate who's present.
Very good.
Who's
very
present good. Yeah. With me. And I will, we see this in Psalm 142, same principle. I looked to my left and my right. No one was there. Nobody cared for my soul. I found no refuge. Mm. And then I looked up and I said, Lord, you're my portion. So elevate who's present. Don't elevate necessarily what you're experiencing or what you should be experiencing. Again, that, what do you think, Pastor? I'm sure we all could say, Lord, help us.
I think it's vitally important that we understand that we're not always going to feel a certain way, right? And, you know, if you've ever had an initiation towards your wife and you're trying to figure out how to initiate towards your wife in a way that'll get her to respond, and you finally find it after 100 arrows were shot, you know, like Larry Crabb talks about. And then you put that, you mark it down somewhere. That's how to get her to respond to that initiation, only to be frustrated by the fact that it never happens again that way. Right? You start to realize that, oh, wait a minute, maybe it's because I'm looking for a response and not just initiating out of love. Well, that kind of thinking is not normal. That kind of thinking happens through the scripture. Psalm 46:10, which you mentioned, be still and know that I am God. When we have a dry moment, first of all, I give myself grace. You know, I say, this is not a time for condemnation. This is a time to be still and know that I'm God. And maybe in that moment, it's just having a heart of prayer, but it's not even telling God things. It's listening to God for things, right? Yeah. And it's just quietness. You know, a lot of times I have to fight through the natural distraction that happens, our pet or the rain or the bird outside or my hunger pains or, you know, the cup of coffee, whatever it is, just like being able to focus on God, I'm here and I'm quiet, and what is it that you have for me? And just quiet my thoughts, be able to hear from him in a way that's awesome. And then be stirred up. You know, we've said in Jude 1:20-21 a couple times, but you, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I just start to meditate on who God is. You know, maybe I'm reading a portion of scripture and I say, what is that saying to me? Or what? Sometimes I just stop and I'm quiet and I just start thinking about he is worthy. He is worthy.
Yeah, worship.
He is the lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. He is, you know, and maybe we go soul winning. You know, that's a great way to stir yourself up about who God is in his scripture, is like to go soul winning. But I love to just meditate and think. And I think that's why worship music, the right kind of worship music, it brings about the capacity to take on the word. It doesn't replace it.
Yeah, I think getting back to a word you used early on, value. What do I value? If I'm not valuing the things of God, then I won't be motivated either. So it's like, okay, Lord, create in me a value to value those things. You know, again, I think of learning a language. I mean, you speak Hungarian and I speak Ukrainian. but learning a language, it's like we value the people, right? We value the people, and that motivates us out of love to do the hard thing, the monotonous thing. But after a while, there's momentum. There's, like you say, going soul winning. Boy, that is so encouraging, but also so challenging, because there you are, and a Muslim's on the other side of the door, and they say something, and you're like, you know, and it's like, okay, you know, I want to be prepared, let's say, to really answer this effectively, not just with some canned answer, you know. You know, and then, Pastor, obviously we were insinuating this, but there's warfare in our study life. I mean, I don't know about you. When I sit down, it's like I remember a million things, and I have to have a notepad, and I just sort of like try to like write down notes to dismiss it and work with it later. But warfare, like the bird, the pet, the hunger, we have to say that is a real thing. And just because the devil knows the value, and when we need to be prepared for distraction. But maybe we'll close out with this last question. I think it's a very practical question. What does it mean to continually pursue a life of Bible study? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a process, it's a journey, we've been saying, but what does it mean to you?
Yeah. Well, I think Matthew 11:28-30 is a great thought. You know, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take upon my yoke upon you. This is the part that I like, is take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I think we take upon that yoke in our youth of getting to know God, and we learn that his burden is not heavy. His burden is easy. He actually tells us to cast our cares upon him. You know, he tells us to walk by faith because of who he's made us to be. And also just that we do have a comforter in John 14:26. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. And the Holy Spirit sends, in his God's name, sends him who will teach all things and bring us all things to our remembrance. And the beautiful thing about being a believer is that we have an inheritance. We have instructions how to think with God in the details of life, categorical doctrine. You know, the devil came and tempted Christ four times, right? Or three times. And in those three times of temptation, he said every time, it is written. Mm. It is written. It is written. Because the value of the word is that it is written. And it is not something that may or may not. It's the unchanging truth.
Yes.
Right? It's the unchanging truth. Yeah.
Some great comments here, Pastor. Nestor, thank you. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to guide me through my reading, to help me understand, and having a pastor teacher in my life that helps me in studying. So important to have a pastor teacher, to have a shepherd, the bishop of our souls in one sense, to illuminate and to really teach us the heart and mind of Christ. And I would say that pastors can be underestimated, undervalued, but Ephesians 4:11, they are gifts to our life. And really, a church, without a church, we don't reach our spiritual potential, so that we can't say enough about that.
That's another whole show. That's another whole show.
I want to refer quickly, as we close in a few moments here, Marian brings up a great verse, Galatians 6:9, worthy of our reading. It says, for he who sows to the flesh will reap to the flesh corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And I think, again, to think that the natural man, its default is brokenness and fear and shame and these types of things. But when we invest in our hearts the Word of God, then we're able to expect good from God, because God is good. And we can, instead of injecting fear in our future, we can speak goodness. We can invest goodness. We can expect goodness. And I think that goes back to ability versus opportunity. It's like God is saying, are you prepared for me to move? Are you prepared for me to answer maybe differently than you're expecting? So I love this verse. As we're walking step by step, we're going to discover how good God is. Pastor Barry, we've kind of run out of time. Any last comments? Well, this has been a great thought today.
Just as a young person out there maybe listening to this, trying to decide how do I develop my study life, number one is just do it. Definitely do
start,
it.
Start, yeah.
Start. And, you know, start reading a scripture, thinking about it, meditating on it, you know. There's no, you know, there's a lot of support resources out there that are amazing, but there's no substitution for the book. And getting to know the book, getting to know verses that parallel those verses, it's just such a great, beautiful covering for our souls to be able to know how God wants us to think about these details. So don't be discouraged in it. Go to a Bible study. Learn how, you know, I love having a pastor in your life.
Amen.
Even that is no excuse for personal Bible study, right? Yeah. Actually, our pastors encourage us. Our pastor encourages us all the time. Fall in love with your Bible. You know, have your Bible be something you're used to. Wear the pages out. Let your fingers be all over it, you know. Take it out and have a quiet moment and just be built up in it. And these are things that there's no substitute for it. You know, practically, if you're looking for a way to just start to get to know the Bible a little bit, read a little bit of the Old Testament, a little bit of the New Testament, a Psalm or a Proverb. That's a way that you can start. There are reading programs out there. I like to just sometimes have thoughts on a sticky pad in my office, a verse that's a promise to me or something that I've been getting challenged in an area. So I'll write a verse that combats that and puts it on my wall and makes me think about that rather than the failure. Just get to know God in new and creative ways, but get to know God.
Yeah, I mean, that helps with addiction, that helps with besetting sin, that helps with natural tendencies, is what does God think about those things? Mm-hmm. And so maybe we have a real need today. We can open the scriptures and say, okay, Lord, how do you think about it? You know, Jeremiah 15:16, same principle. We eating the word, just like we wouldn't miss a meal during the day necessarily. It's the same spiritually. We can be spiritually anemic if we're not feeding our own spiritual life. Wow. We could just keep going here. There's just so many great things. I love this. Start, have realistic expectations. Start small, right?
Yep.
Get with like-minded people and value what God will do in your life, because he'll surprise you with his goodness. So, friends, thanks so much for joining us here at the Grace Hour. Grace Hour is a ministry of Greater Grace Church, and tonight we have an awesome service at 7 o'clock. We want to certainly invite you to be part of that. Come out, learn the Bible, enjoy the church family, have a great cup of coffee at our cafe, and enjoy learning Christ together. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.